the Bruins Twitter accidentally posting the Situation Room's phone number. That was hilarious. Although I thought the War Room, somebody else like took a photo of the Toronto
War Room. That happened last season, I think.
Well, I know too. Somebody posted the Wi-Fi password for I think the Toronto Maple Leafs press box, and I don't remember what it was, but I'm just thinking, man, people and the things they leak. Savage. I mean, what's next?
You know, what a great segue. Speaking of Wi-Fi, the Sharks head over to Winnipeg.
Wow, that was Bravo. A segment.
I'm clapping. I'm clapping. That was fantastic.
Hey now, boys and girls, it's that time. It's Sunday night. Do you know where your technologists are? They're right here. Welcome into Show 68. Mike Hoffman, if you please, or he hate me if you listen to Hockey Jerk. But it is March 17th, so happy St. Patty Marlowe's Day. Yes? No? Welcome to the Technologist on Teal Town USA. I'm your host, AJ underscore strong. Of course, joining me to the left, Rocket Backhander.
What up?
All right. And in his general, usual, undisclosed location, one Hockey Jerk.
The Jerk Cave is not locatable on any maps or GPS units or cave drawings, but here I am. Don't ever say Marlowe again in my presence.
Well, we can't find your location on like some bootleg version of Waze on the dark web.
I'd rather not get into it.
Wow.
All right. Well, do us a favor. Remember, subscribe to the cast if you would on SoundCloud or the podcast platform of your choosing. And if you're on iTunes, throw some love over there if you enjoy the show. And always subscribe to the YouTube channel, please. Check out every episode of Teal Town After Dark goes live after every single Sharks game and the weekly show here, The Pucknologist. Feel free to leave a comment on the SoundCloud, the YouTube, whatever. And as always, on Twitter and Instagram, both of them at Teal Town USA. A couple people wanting to know what happened to the show last week. And for those of you who are unaware, a friend of the show, Mike Nevis, passed away. And to be quite honest, I didn't feel like doing a show because of that. Then more bad news came out over the last 2 weeks, whether it was Baker's story going public or Evander Kane's story going public. I just didn't feel like doing a show last week. So I hope you forgive us for that. But rest in peace, Mike. We're going to miss you. I was only able to meet the guy once in person, but loved his sarcasm. It was very similar to mine, especially on the chat. So good looking out, Mike, and we'll see you in the next life. We do have breaking news. The San Jose Barracuda have evidently petitioned the AHL to wear St. Patrick's Day jerseys for the rest of the season. Is this true?
It might be.
Dude, 9-0? Are you serious?
There, clearly, all of the goals that disappeared the last 14 days found them.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They were in that other net.
Yes. Well, we'll get there. But as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. After winning 6 straight to begin the month, the Sharks have dropped their last 2 games. They are currently 43, 21-8, good for 94 points, 1 point behind Calgary. However, there are no games in hand any longer. 10 games left, including one versus Calgary. However, that is the second of back-to-backs at the end of this month. Vegas is the game before that, who right now 11 points ahead. However, I do believe the Golden Knights are ahead in a game currently right now versus Edmonton. Hockey Jerk, can you confirm?
I can tell you that Mark Stone has scored a goal tonight for the Golden Knights. Whether that's given them the lead or not, I will not tell you until right now. 3-2 Golden Knights, 5:40 left in the second period. So if you're like me and you believe in fairy tales, maybe the Oilers will win this game.
Ah, that would be nice. Yeah. And the Flames have clinched. They're the first to clinch in the Western Conference. So, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, Sharks, well, when they only play 6 games this spring, is anybody going to care? Don't think so.
All right. Hey, now, already put, somebody marked that down in the foreseen book, people.
I had a premonition.
The Sharks, since we last spoke with you all, have played themselves 6 games. Victory versus Montreal, overtime victory versus the Blues, then a 3-1 win at Minnesota, 5-4 win at Winnipeg, and then came home to start a 3-game homestand, and so far have lost the first 2 games versus Florida and Nashville, each by a score of 4-2. Cover the Montreal real quick. Let me see. Well, you were shocked that Montreal didn't win this game because, hello, they started Niemi. just saying.
Yes.
But the last time Montreal won in San Jose, the building was actually called the San Jose Arena. The Sharks did not have Kane or Erik Karlsson in this one, but Hurdle did get his 30th goal on the season. Nyquist would get an empty netter for his first Sharks goal. I'm sure Thornton pissed off about that because, hey, he's the one that gets the empty netters. But Jones would save 37 of 39 for a .949 save percentage versus a wild card team. Hey, now. So, Rocket, what did you like about the Montreal game?
I don't know. I didn't really see too much of it.
And Hockey Jerk.
Sorry, I didn't work.
The thing that I liked about this game was that it proved what I said on the last Pucknologist to be true, in that Montreal cannot beat the Sharks in San Jose, or really at all for that matter. So, in case you were looking to send me any congratulatory gifts, I will link my PO box and my Venmo account. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
Well, it's been a long 30 minutes. So what I liked about this game was that, to AJ's point, talking about how Montreal's a wild card team, and we've seen the Sharks kind of, for whatever reason, you know, be like a child playing with their dinner against teams who are in the middle of the pack. They're sort of just not really paying attention to anything else that's going on. And next thing you know, they're losing 3-0 to somebody who sucks. But with Montreal, that did not happen. The foot was down on the gas to start, and then somehow they put it even further onto the gas, and they ended up winning 5-2, which is obviously good because goals are fun, especially when you're at the game. And awesome to see Goose Nyquist, as we said last show, get his first goal with the Sharks, despite being an empty netter. It's still a goal. I believe they don't ask how, they just ask how many. So
that would be correct. There you go. Mm. Except for Mahalik, I always asked how. What was the situation? What happened? To follow that one up, it was a little matinee game Saturday, March 9th. That's right. Teal Town, USA Day at the Tank. The Sharks get a 3-2 overtime win versus the Blues, as Meyer would score twice. The Sharks, however, did give up 2 power play goals, but LeBanc would get the game-winning goal in overtime on a great feed from Couture. The Sharks would move into, I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those shows. They would move into first place for the time being. But the only thing I want to say about that is Teal Town USA A Day was a lot of fun. So thanks for everybody who came out to that. It was quite cool, but we'll get to the game. I know for a fact Rocket did see this game.
I did. Most of it, I think. I had so much fun. It was just overwhelming to see everybody in person and to be able to do the show live at SAP Center with a live studio audience was a real special thing. I know a lot of other arenas have a broadcast venue attached to, you know, the concourse so that when people are walking by, they can kind of listen or watch them do the post game. But, you know, SAP doesn't have something like that. So this was as close to that sort of event as we've had, and it was really fun. It was a lot of fun. I hope there's more opportunity to do that.
And actually, to piggyback on that, a while ago, I can't even remember how long it was. This is probably going back 20 years. The Sharks did at one point do post game live from the Tank with Dan Rusinowski. They would bring a player out and everything like that, and it was done at the club level and the 115 side. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. And, you know, you could sit there and hang out, and they'd have it piped in so you could chill out, listen. And it was a nice way to, like, let everybody else kind of split. But, boy, Wish they'd bring that back. Anyhow,
I'm glad that LeBanc got the game winning goal and that they won that game, because I would have been irritated otherwise. So,
hey, jerk, at this point, Sharks undefeated on Teal Town USA days. I'm just saying.
Oh. Hey, I mean, that, you know, that's all I'm saying. I mean, can anybody else say that their special day at the tank, they're undefeated? I don't think so. No, I mean, the first thing I wanted to say about this game, what a call by Randy Hahn on LeBanc's OT winner. Am I wrong here? I mean, it's one of those things where it seems like you would have to think, okay, you know, if LeBanc does this, what are we going to say here? But no, it just came off the tongue, you know, in a hot second, and it was fantastic. So obviously hat tip to Randy Hahn for being literally the best person at his job ever. This game was... Yeah, I don't know. This game started out kind of weird for me. I feel like it was quick, and then it lulled, and then it was quick again, especially in the third period. It kind of felt like a 3-on-3 overtime the last half of the third period. It was just back and forth and back and forth, and Goose hit the post. Unfortunately, I was really pulling for him to get one on a goalie there. but, yeah, I mean, good game. And same thing with Montreal. You know, you got a team who's fighting to stay in a playoff spot, and they're playing their hearts out on a regular basis, and the Sharks handled them like they claim to be the best team in the conference. So always fun to see. And I'll get to it a little later, but I do have something. I tweeted it out. If you like raffles and you like clutter on your nightstand, desk, shelves, whatever, you might be interested in what I have to say later on. AJ?
Do not tease me. Do not tease me.
He's anyway. Already teased you.
Oh, you bastard. I was a little surprised, though, that Jake Allen getting the start into this? What happened to Bennington?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think St. Louis's perspective from their coach, they were kind of thinking, okay, the Sharks don't do well against backup goalies, so what if we just put the worst goalie in the league in net?
Oh, that makes way too much sense. No, that's exactly what went on. I get it.
I got to get my soundboard back. anyway, after that, the Sharks would head out for a quick two-game roadie starting off in Minnesota. A lot of people speculated, including myself, that Aaron Dell would get the start in this because they were playing Winnipeg the following night, who lead the Central. So you would think you would put your stronger goaltender versus the stronger team. But it was also pointed out that, well, the last time Martin Jones played at Minnesota earlier this season, he shut them out 4-0. Well, lo and behold, Minnesota, Jones gets the start and becomes the first NHL goal to ever shut out Minnesota twice in the regular season at XL. This one was kind of a boring game for me, obviously, because it was low and slow. But until Vlasic would fire one from the blue line that literally went off of Barkley Goodrow's stomach in front of the net, Hurdle would score off a nice pass from Meyer on a 2-on-1, and Couture would score his second penalty shot of the season, and offside hilarity ensues on Twitter after that because no one could figure out the rules, including the officials in this game who had to be given a talking to by the boys in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So your take on the Minnesota game. First off, was Couture onside?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But I felt like too.
So we need the rule book people. No, I'm just kidding.
but it's that whole idea of, was he onside? Because if he's onside, then everything that happened after that is perfectly acceptable. He's hooked when he's in alone. That's a penalty shot. But if it's offside, then they immediately call the play dead and there would be no penalty shot. But yeah, if you look at the rule book, he had control. I'm fine with it.
If you asked the Buffalo Sabres, they would say he was in the crease. So,
ooh, went there.
Sorry,
turned that knife.
I don't get a chance to use that one very often, so when I do, like, it always feels real good.
For those of you watching, Google 1999 Buffalo Dallas.
I learned a little bit when I moved to Nashville, just a little bit.
Coach.
This is Coach.
how about your go on this one, jerk?
So, funny story about this game. I actually watched this game all the way through and was on the Teal Town After Dark panel for this game with Puck Guy and Al Martinet. I don't remember anything about this game, which is odd because, like I said, I watched the whole thing and I evidently talked about it after the fact. But
and you don't drink, so I'm.
You know what? Head colds are a hell of a thing.
I was going to say, I'm strangely interested in what you're.
Have you ever heard the Sharks have Nyquist? I have NyQuil. Let's just say that.
Hey, now.
Capital N, small Y, big friggin' Q.
But this game, just trying to read back through my notes and just remember, as boring as this game was at times, I enjoyed it because Minnesota, I talked about teams who are scratching and clawing to make their way in. Minnesota is a team who's trying to make their way in, but they're not really scratching and clawing. They're just sort of like, hey, man, like, can I have a turn kind of thing? And so it was fun for me to see the Sharks come in and be that dominant team that we've seen them be a majority of the year. And to your point, AJ, talking about Martin Jones getting a donut against them twice this year, which, I mean, what does that say about their team? We're a team. But no, I thought it was good. The Couture goal, obviously, a little bit of controversy behind it. But I'm glad that the referees and the linesmen got the right call, because I think if they had botched that one, I think a lot of more people would have been pissed off about it, even if the Sharks had won.
Yeah, I mean, there were some Minnesota people out there on Twitter saying that, you know, look, I hate to admit it, but it's a clean goal. It's one of those things, you got to look at it, try to take out the colors of the jerseys and just, you know, look what happened. Well, there you go. And Vince in the chat, this was great. The Bruins Twitter accidentally posting the Situation Room's phone number. That was hilarious. Although I thought the War Room, somebody else like took a photo of the Toronto
War Room. It happened last season, I think.
Well, I know too. Somebody posted the Wi-Fi password for, I think, the Toronto Maple Leafs press box, and I don't remember what it was, but I'm just thinking, man.
Well,
people and the things they leak. Savage. I mean, what's next?
You know, what a great segue. Speaking of Wi-Fi, the Sharks head over to Winnipeg.
Wow. That was Bravo. A segment.
I'm clapping. That was fantastic.
That was really good.
Oh, the Sharks pick up a 5-4 win in Winnipeg. And to also make note of that, too, I don't know if you follow Kevin Kurz, but I believe it was on his Instagram, one of his social media channels, he tweeted out a small video of his laptop and that he was not able to get on Wi-Fi there. It's great. Just the joke that keeps on giving. Aaron Dell does get the start in this one, but this, unfortunately, was the game where Radim Šimek took a nasty injury. He's out for the rest of the season. I don't care what anybody says. He's not coming back with having to face MCL, ACL surgery. The other fun part from this one is Wheeler would take an elbow from the ref as he's coming around, just total shot in the grill. That was awesome. Ehlers would have a nice dive. I was surprised there wasn't a gold medal given out for that. But this is the game where Joe Pavelski would win it with under 5 seconds left.
I'm sorry. Who won it with 5 seconds left? Who?
Joe Pavelski.
Captain Joe Pavelski. America. Noted goal scorer whose career is not over.
What are you alluding to?
I you know what? This is the hill that I'm going to die on. Is that Joe Pavelski's career is not over, despite what all the haters said.
Oh, there are no haters here. Who are you talking to? Yeah.
They know who they are.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah. Okay. And for a hot minute, the Sharks would take back first in the division and the conference after getting that victory and getting the hell out of Winnipeg and finding Wi-Fi, of course, as soon as they were 30,000 feet in the air. I love that joke. Just that whole thing is never going to go away.
It's a good thing that daylight savings time just happened. At least it's not, I mean, crappy Wi-Fi aside, at least it's not dark anymore.
True that. Let's go on to the Florida one. 4-2 loss once the Sharks come home to start a 3-game homestand. Sharks legend Mike Hoffman returning to his old stomping grounds. No, nothing. I'm really missing my soundboard right now. Sam Montembeau would be in goal after going 2-0-1 in his first three NHL starts for Florida. As we said earlier, Schimmick is out. You're going to hear that a lot from now through playoffs. Joachim Rein slides in to take his place. EK 65 would miss his seventh straight. Evander Kane also missed this one. The Sharks did miss the chance to clinch a playoff spot after Dallas beat Minnesota just prior to this game starting. And some would call this a trap game, and I'm not buying it. The Sharks were playing their third and four, their fourth and six, after winning six straight. You get injuries to Schimmick. You got the injury with EK65. You've got Kane out due to personal issues. And you're playing a team that had not played a game in 3 days, and they've got this hot rookie goaltender. You know, the best part you can take about this is the Hoffman banner story, which we'll get to later. But I mean, versus Florida Rock, it's, are you calling that a trap game?
Yeah. Just because the team is tired doesn't mean that it's not a trap game. The two are not mutually exclusive. I think that both happened, and that's why it happened. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. It's Florida, for Pete's sake. Come on now.
Boogie had the way. Jerk, trap game or no for you?
The trap here was thinking that the Sharks were going to win this game. because the game that Florida played in prior to this one was before the Sharks' two games against Winnipeg and Minnesota. So already the Sharks played two games in between the Panthers' two games, and they flew thrice, actually.
And the time change.
And the time change, multiple time changes. Yeah, if you told me that the Sharks were going to win this game and not be tired or anything, yeah, I wouldn't have believed you. Because Florida, to my understanding, was in San Jose for a good while. The Florida Panthers may have been here before the Sharks were here. That's all I'll say.
They absolutely were.
Yeah. It's like I always say, disappointed, but not surprised.
I'm pretty sure they flew out on Tuesday.
Yeah. So must be nice.
Yeah, no doubt. Right. Finally, the Sharks would finish that up with the Nashville Predators, Rocket's second favorite team.
Oh, God.
My second favorite team. My first favorite. College football fan base in the NHL.
The Sharks would take a 4-2 loss versus the Preds. Jonas Donskoy getting scratched on Donskoy bobble night. That's always fun. Nashville's first two goals for me came off lazy plays. First, you got Timo Meier just stopping. He just stopped skating in the neutral zone, and Nashville out-hustled him.
Yep.
Then later, Justin Braun goes into the corner on a hit. And I can't remember. I wish I could remember the name of the Predator, but he got right up, jammed right out in front of Jones, got the tip, boom, it's in. And that being because you see that Braun just was dragging ass on that. And it proves, as always, hard work beats skill when skill doesn't work hard. Just saying. Your take on Nashville, Rock. As you're intimately involved with both of these teams now, having lived in both cities.
Intimately involved.
You know what I meant.
I've been in the dressing room.
You've been in both of their buildings.
I've worked hard in all three of the dirty areas.
But have you ever chugged a beer off of a dead catfish?
Yes.
Damn it.
No. I don't know.
What do we say? I am unsure.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
I am unsure. This game, man, I think that this was a fun game to watch because Nashville's system and their speed is it's changed a little bit over the years. They're not nearly as lithe on their feet with the strong shutdown defense as they used to be, but they're still really entertaining to watch. I think that their system paired up against San Jose's system is, like I said, really entertaining. I think that San Jose maybe forgot for a hot second that Nashville was dangerous because that's what it felt like. It feels like, you know, you look at the teams that San Jose has been playing recently, hasn't been Nashville. So I think this was sort of a little bit of a jolt for them. Both of the goals that San Jose scored during this game were really sexy. I don't care that they lost. Those goals were sexy.
Jerk.
So everything that I said about the previous games, about how the Sharks looked really good, you forget everything I said because the Sharks did not look very good in this game, at least for a number of snippets of time during this game. I mean, specifically Martin Jones, like I believe it was the first goal. And then I want to say the third goal as well, where he just, you know, allowed his bubble to be permeated. And, you know, he didn't appear to be totally reactionary on what was going on. And I mean, I don't want to say that Jones cost the Sharks this game, because obviously the highest scoring offense in the league should score more than two goals. But he certainly didn't help the cause, I feel. And really, the other takeaway I have for this game is, please make Joe Thornton mad every game.
Oh,
because
angry Joe's the best Joe.
I mean, he came out of the penalty box and shoved Roman Josi and then scored a goal. I mean, that's literally all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And it wasn't an empty netter.
It may as well have been.
Joe Thornton in this game, I liked it. I loved it. And I wanted some more of it.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, I mean, you know what, guys? I'm trying so hard, but I just can't get enough of it. Okay. I don't know what it is.
All right, let it go, dude.
We don't need to get the whole song in
here. It doesn't do the whole thing after a certain stanza. It like busts over the gold on the ceiling, I think.
Well, not only that, but if we were going to do the whole thing, we would be here for 10 minutes reciting the U.S. Constitution and chanting a random goalie's name.
It's not the Constitution, man. It's probably like the what is it, whatever the statement is, secession or something.
Wow.
I'm terrible. I'm awful.
Oh, let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the good for me, the Sharks taking 8 points on that 4-game homestand. Of course, Tealtown USA Day was great. And I'm just going to leave it there for me. Rocket, what was great for you over the last 2 weeks of Sharks hockey?
Man, I really honestly want to say that, yeah, Tealtown USA Day, it was a highlight of the season. I'm glad I'm home. Like, I had actually scheduled off time from my job in Nashville to make it out for that. And so I would have gotten here either way. So I'm glad I got to hang out and be a part of that. That was great.
Jerk, you're good.
My good, my great, my great, my hey, that's fantastic. Marcus Sorensen. I would argue there were a lot of people who kind of had him grouped in with, you know, a lot of the fringe bottom six guys. Like, okay, he could do something or he could not do something. And, you know, playing with Joe Thornton and playing with Kevin LeBanc, I think he's elevated his game to an entirely another level. I mean, he's just such a fluid skater already. And now he's got two really good distributors in those guys who can just get him the puck. And this is the guy who, despite his more speed and sleek game, will go to the greasy areas with no problems at all. And, you know, he's cashed in numerous times this season, and, you know, I don't want to say it's going to happen, but he could very easily hit 20 goals, which when you're a cap team like the Sharks are, and that, and 20 goals is only going to cost you about $1 million and change for the next two seasons. Kind of hard to be upset about that.
Absolutely. For the bad, I'm going with obviously the news that came out that Evander Kane made public. I'm not going to, you know, dive into it, but obviously not a good story. Depressing, kind of sad. So clearly my bad for these last 2 weeks. Rocket, what do you have to kind of be bad?
Well, I think what's bad is I don't want
to. Sharks power play.
Yeah, that was ugly. Like, I was going to say that poor kid getting his ACL, AHL, ZYM, whatever it was, cup of noodles replaced.
Tommy John's, Jimmy John's, all of them.
He's got to get his Mike's jersey sub a surgery. He needs all of his Taco Bell replaced. His Burger King is broken. Like all of it just, I feel that's just, it was an ugly thing that happened. And I think it's really bad because he was a good piece of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Jerkman.
So my bad, or I don't even want to say bad, whatever kind of thing.
I am indifferent.
Yeah. I am unsure. Just the fact that the Sharks played so well, leading up to this homestand, and then they kind of just, you know, fell down a flight of stairs, you know, especially coming into this Nashville game. You know,
they weren't pushed.
You know, they were playing so well, and then they kind of have some stinkers, and I just hope it's not a situation where like they're burning out or they're getting complacent. Like, I hope it's just, you know, they're victims of bad travel and bad whatever, and you know, it's something that they just kind of get through, kind of like a cold.
All right. And for ugly, well, of course, for me, there's a few things. The Radim Šimić injury, the power play going 1-for-13 over their last seven when they were 8-for-23 during the previous seven games. So, yeah, that's pretty damn ugly. And, Martin Jones's consistency level, pretty fugly. I would like to see that. Your ugly rock.
Yeah, man. Like it's the power play. Like I know that you've been eyeballing that drum set, and I think it's okay to get it out, dust it off, tune it up, pound on those skins, man. It's just like, it's time.
Yeah. Yeah. We're bordering like timpani time.
Oh yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Like the guy from Spaceballs.
I have to go see that again.
All right.
Jerk, you're ugly. I mean, not personally, but.
Wow.
I don't know what to say.
Your ugly take for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, man. My ugly. You know what? Aside from these two awful games, not really a whole lot of ugly to go around. I mean, at least nothing that I can say publicly. But I don't know, the linesman stopping the Haley and Wayne Simmons fight, even though it looked like it was going to be a good bout. Like, you know, that's one of the things I hate is if two guys are mutually consenting to punch each other in the face, I think you should let it happen.
Yeah. And you know, when you're talking about Haley versus Simmons, I'm going to take that 20,000 times on Sunday when, you know, if you're going to, you're basically your worst forward is going to take off a pretty good forward on the other team. Yeah. You take that every single time, but anyway, I digress. I do love the fact that at the end of that, Haley is just kind of like looking at the refs going, dude, come on, man. I was just getting started.
Well, and I think about it like this too, like, now, I'm not some big brawler, right? But if you're going to be in a fight with somebody, the thing that would frustrate me the most is if somebody's like holding you back, because then the other person just has free range to off on you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's typically when I think Sidney Crosby throws his best punches, especially if your name happens to be Brendan Dillon. If you go back to that game earlier in the season,
wow!
Like Sidney didn't throw a lick until the officials had Brendan Dillon's arm, and all of a sudden, Slot comes in from Crosby, and you're just like, "Wow, real manly Sid."
Mm.
Oh boy, let's move on to three stars of the week, or what we call good for you. That's the problem of not having this on a board right now. Yeah. So,
what happened?
Yeah, Rocket, where's yours?
I'm just going to give this one to Brendan Dillon because I can.
Way to show your work. Jerk.
All right. I didn't want to do this.
Oh, crap. Here
we go. My oh, good for you, my star goes to Peter DeBoer for finally scratching Jonas Donskoy.
Now
on Jonas Donskoy bobblehead night of all nights.
Now I'm not going to get into the argument about about, you know, is Haley this, is Haley that, blah 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 blah. But one thing I've always liked about Peter DeBoer is he has been receptive to when guys are not playing well, and it's not a matter of things are not going well for the person; it's a matter of the person is not doing their best. And I like, take Donskoy out of it, I like the fact that Peter DeBoer is saying, "Hey, I don't care if you're a regular in this lineup; you need to bust your ass every day." And that's why he was scratched against the Nashville Predators. And yes, Haley played, and whatever. At me on Twitter, please, @hockey_jerk. But like, I like that DeBoer sends a message because it holds everybody accountable and it shows, hey, whether you're a big dog or whether you're a little pupper, you're not exempt from anything.
Well, what are you looking for? I mean, just can you at least understand the reaction from some people where they're saying, what's the point of putting in a guy like Haley over Donskoy when Haley's only going to play 5-6 minutes a night, thus making other guys on the team play more minutes?
I honestly, I don't have an answer for you because I'm not in the locker room. I'm not on the bench. There's so much that Haley brings to the team, and for that matter, everybody brings to the team, that we have no idea about because we are watching on TV or we're watching in the stands or listening on the radio or listening to a podcast. There's so much that we don't know, so I don't really have an honest answer for you. But, I mean, even with Haley in the lineup, team was rolling. I get it. It's kind of frustrating that he's played so little, but I think in that time he does play, I mean, I think he does his job. He does what's expected of him, and really, I think that's all you can ask for.
Well, I mean, okay. My view on it, I know no one's asked me, but my view on it is that Pete wouldn't have scratched Donskoy if Donskoy didn't force Pete into it. I'm pretty sure Pete's been like, you need to get on your game. You need to get on your game. And Donskoy's just been like, you know, I don't know what to do. So finally, like, Pete has this option. And it's a 5-minute and whatever second option. But at least it's 5-minute whatever seconds that he can trust.
Exactly.
So it's like he's going to be able to trust this 5-minute whatever second dude to go out there and skate with this giant horse heart in that self-proclaimed white trash body of his, you know, and like just give it all out there instead of Donskoy, who is this skilled elite shootout artist and his ridiculous, just like he can be filthy sometimes, but he just isn't plugged in for whatever reason.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, no goals in his last 25 games. And I would like to preface this by saying by all accounts, I'm sure Jonas Donskoy is a very nice guy and very good person, and I'm not attacking his person. But
I've met him. I wouldn't say that about him. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Jesus.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
But you know what? When no goals in 25 games, you take that away. Okay, you're going to go through. You have to remember that you're not shooting on an empty net. You're shooting on somebody who gets paid to stop pucks. So I get that respect of it. But I see a guy who's trying to pull a move at the blue line and turns it over. I see a guy who's in the corner and he's weak on his stick and weak on his skates and loses the puck. I see a guy who at times has zero tenacity or agitation to his game and, despite being quote unquote good with the puck, is muscled off the puck quite frequently. And I mean, when you don't have the puck, you can't score goals. Last I checked. So
I would absolutely agree with you. And for those of you playing at home, after what Jerk just said, # I see a guy. And so my star of the week. I like the fact that we do this live now, to a certain extent, because it keeps the, I don't know, I find it to be a little more fresh. And keeps us honest, and plus the chat will give us some topics maybe that we had neglected to get into. For those of you who do listen to the audio only versions of this, you've missed a couple really cool dances by Rocket so far. I don't know, what is that, the Donskoy?
Yeah.
Okay. So my three or my star for the week, there's a part of me that wants to give it to Hurdle. There's a part of me that wants to give it to Haley, but mine is going to the other guy who starts with an H, Tim Heed. The kid has come up over this time having to cover for Erik Karlsson, and I feel like he gets better and better every game. You don't see him out, like, it seems like his ice time is increasing. He's being put out there. He's being given more responsibility with each shift. I'm just digging what he is bringing to this team right now, especially when you see Schmidt going down now. That you're going to need 7, 8, 9 defensemen going into the playoffs. Injuries happen, people. And Tim Heed, you know, for being 28 and, like, what, how many hockey games has he played? Like 100 in the NHL, if that. I don't even know that he has 100. So that's Timmy. You get my star of the week. And if you were given one of the stars of the week.
Okay. Oh, good for you.
There it goes. All right. So let's get into the next one.
Hold on. Is it that time? Is it that time?
It's a
oh, dude, Jerk brought receipts. Holy hell. that's actually the wrong one. That's actually for the wraparound, and we're going into Shark Bites, but hey, you tried. And I appreciate it. Dude, we got to get into it. The Mike Hoffman banner troll. Okay, this the fact of, because we've been making fun of this but since it all went down. Several people have been making fun of it, but we cut a video at the beginning, like the day that it happened, cut a video, the Mike Hoffman tribute video, I think the whole thing is like all of 7 seconds long, and it was, you know, we just did it as a goof. And it ended up being one of our most popular videos, despite the fact being it's only 7 seconds long, and yet we've got like 11,000 views of that video.
Do we get ad money for it?
Like, God, I would hope so, right? Oh, it's hard to jam a commercial in between a 7 second video. But the troll for Mike Hoffman was great. Can you imagine looking up and seeing this huge banner that has your name, your number on there, and it just has the date where it's, what did it, I forget what the date was. It was something,
June 19th.
Okay. Yeah, June 19th, 2018 to June 19th, 2018. I mean, it's a fun troll. And the fact that Mike Hoffman not only noticed it, but made it so the guys who created it came down to practice the next day to watch practice, but to give it to him because Hoffman's like, I have to have that. So I thought that was awesome. Stick taps to the guys who did that. I thought that was great. It'll be interesting to see what other kind of fun troll moments, because that's what I miss. You would see that stuff back in the day when Chris Pronger would play against the Sharks. You'd see some decent trolls. So I like that. I want to see some more, because you know what it was? There was nothing mean-spirited about it. It was, you know, just poking fun at the fact that the guy was here, you know, was a member for all of 10 seconds. Like, I really want them to do, like, one for, like, Messier. Like, who else was here for like not even a cup of coffee? Like, you could see the same thing happen. They do that in Boston for Martin Jones.
Yeah, I can. You know, that.
Either way. Did we have Chris Pronger on our books for like a half an hour or something?
I don't think so. Well, but Chris. The Sharks. We had Brad Boies for a game. Okay. Literally, his NHL debut was with the Sharks, and then we traded him.
Yeah. No, see, I'm just talking about having, like, a guy on the books for, like, a couple out. Because wasn't Messier on our, like, cap hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
Belfour?
No, Belfour played, like, 20 games.
Oh, but when you said Pronger and you said trolling, all I can think of is, what is it, AJ? You'll tell. Is it bigwhinydefenseman.com or what is it?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. That's exactly what it was. There was somebody, to show you how long ago it was. Remember back when, like, printers, I'm not even sure what kind of printer it is, where it would be, it was on teeth,
It's a dot matrix printer.
Yes, dot me. Okay, that's exactly what I was looking for. A dot matrix printer. And it's just like literally 30 sheets along the back wall of section 118 that just says big whiny defenseman.com. That takes a lot of paper to get all of that out. So either way, stick taps to you guys. That was a solid troll. The other thing happened, of course, like we said, Jamie Baker did a great interview with Katie Strang on The Athletic, basically getting in deep about the issues that he's had to deal with regards to CTE, I would imagine. Yes,
probably.
Yeah. And just the mental health and everything like that. And it, for those of you that didn't remember that Baker actually took a few months off from broadcasting last season. So, awesome story, at least that, you know, that he was able to get his way back and Sharks being so supportive of that. So that was awesome. Then Evander Kane, for those of you, I don't want to get into it. So all you have to do is just search, go Google it. You know, Evander Kane personal issues or whatever, but, he had some horrible news that happened with him over the last couple weeks. And so it just got me to thinking, it's, you know, like certain stories, they come out in the wash. Like all this stuff happened to Baker a year ago. And, you know, a year later, we find out what happened. And Kane had missed a game or two. And a lot of people at first, it was like, well, there was that big fight with Zdeno Chara. Wonder if there are lingering effects or whatever. And then it gets to the point where he's not in the team photo. And there's a lot of speculation, like what did he like injure a, you know, did he like take a kidney punch or something? He hasn't bounced back. Like what is going on? But it finally comes out. Meanwhile, Marty McSorley left the broadcast crew like 10 years ago. No one's ever heard from the guy since. And it's never been explained why, what the hell happened. It was just, he left like what, after game two of the playoffs, then Drew Remenda comes in, finishes the playoffs. Now, mind you, Drew Remenda had been with Hockey Night in Canada all that season. So Remenda comes in out of nowhere. And to this day, 10, 11 years later, and I think, I believe at one point we might have actually asked Randy Hahn, like, you know, can you just give us any insight as to what happened? Even if you look on Marty McSorley's Wikipedia page, it just says like mysteriously disappears after game two. You know, wow. So and Hahn's response was, you know, as they say, some things they stay in the room, and that's one of them.
I remember
that too, because, you know, as a certain drunk person once said,
What are you saying about me now?
you are the worst analyst that CBC has ever hired.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. So I, you know, Drew Remenda being gone, I remember that was a whole big thing. And I remember the game came on and I remember telling my dad, like, hey, you know, Drew Remenda's on the TV on Sharks game. And my dad's like, no, it's not Drew Remenda. And I was like, no, Dad, it's Drew Remenda. Sure enough, it was. And then he got hired, you know, 6 months back later, and everything was all well and good. And, you know, no, I just remember that. Yeah. To your point, AJ, I remember that being very weird. Mysterious.
It was so odd. And we have someone in the chat saying that McSorley left broadcasting because of quote unquote family issues, but also disagreements with Hahn. That, yeah, hey, you know, maybe you try something for a year, the chemistry isn't there. Maybe that is part of it. Maybe it's not. I don't want to get into the speculation of it, but that's what Anthony is saying. Sleepy in the chat is commenting that he likes my shirt. Please tell him that I did not get this at Fanatics. This is a CCM. Okay. The thing, though, is that Rocket bought this shirt, so I don't know where the hell she got it from. Is this from the Super Sale?
I don't know.
All right.
She got it on bigwhinydefenseman.com.
I did. I got it on sale at bigwhinydefenseman.com.
Oh, you might have got this at some, I thought it might have been the Super Sale.
Maybe.
Okay. Either way, it's all good. We have one more. Sharks are 7-5 wearing their stealth jerseys, ensuring they have a winning record wearing them this season. So put away the whole we suck in black jerseys thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do you have that horn sounder again? Oh, you son of a bitch. Now it's time to go around the horn.
Yeah, horn.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Roenick does not know how to add. I don't know.
Is that how thin this week was?
Yeah, it was pretty thin. Well, I'm starting off with that. Jeremy Roenick, really nice in person, but dude came out and on the pregame. When did we go national? That was versus the
Minnesota.
Yeah. So prior to that, he's talking about the Sharks record and saying, you know, the Sharks are 13-1-3 over their last 16. And he didn't say it once. He said it twice. And like both times you're going 13-1-3. No, like, I don't understand how he's saying that's over the last 16. But anyway, later in the broadcast, then he pronounces Timu Tamo. And then he calls LeBanc LeBlanc. I mean, just Roenick not having a good day on the broadcast. The better part was a little bit later. What's the cat's name who drives that show? Burmeister? Is that Jerk? Yeah. Jerk? Can you confirm? Burmeister?
What are you saying?
The guy who hosts the NBC, pregame stuff and intermittent, the national guy. Is it Burmeister that's on there with like Olchek and Roenick and all those guys?
I've never even heard the name Burmeister.
Okay. All right. Fine. Whoever was on the broadcast, Jesus Christ, what your support.
I was going to say, I don't watch C-level panels.
But whoever was on there later said it correctly, and you could see Roenick just give him this, just turn over and look at him with just daggers. It was very funny. Okay.
Oh, you know why I've never heard of that guy? Because he only started like hosting NHL on NBC like this year.
Okay.
And I don't watch NBC.
Still sucks. Okay, cool.
Bring back OLM.
But yeah. Oh, versus for the win. I don't know if you've seen the Ryan Getzlaf bobblehead, but it is glorious. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. It is somebody, whoever came up with this is genius. And the fact that Getzlaf signed off on it, he had to have signed off on this, but they literally went right down the middle and said, okay, half of this bobblehead is going to be you like on your draft day, like game one, whatever.
Oh no.
And then the other half is what you look like today. So right down the middle, full head of hair, beautiful spiky do, other side bald as a baby's ass. Oh my god, it's fantastic.
Wow, that poor guy.
Royalties are a hell of a thing.
Oh,
I bet he's excited to see himself with half a head of hair.
Oh, you just
you guys just got that.
It took me a minute because I was busy looking at this. But I mean,
he's going to just turn it to the left.
Yeah, it'll always be the profile.
Always be that way.
It'll always be the profile.
And he'll walk past it and just give it a little shake and be like, yeah.
I mean, and it's great too. In fact, you know what it is? It's a takeoff. It's of his photo on draft day, because if you look at the bobblehead, he's even on the hair side.
Yeah,
he's even got
the tie.
Yeah, the dress shirt and the tie. It glorious bobblehead. Like, this is one that I'm looking for on eBay. I don't know if it's happened yet, but holy hell! Like, I gotta trade somebody for that or get a hold of those. Anyway,
poor guy. I mean, not to totally derail things, but as a adult male, that's like one of the worst things that you can go through is losing your hair. And unless you're AJ, of course, because AJ, your hair looks great. But like the fact that he owned it, like you said, Rocket, just bravo, because that's, for some guys, that's an embarrassing thing to like own.
Yeah. Know? Well, and the whole thing is, it's the guys who, at least Remenda is just like, you know what, bick it. You know, because Remenda can still grow, you know, the Saturn rings.
The halo.
Yeah, the halo, but he can't. So he's just like, no, just get rid of it all.
You know who else is like that now? Nick Bonino.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And yeah. I like Vince's comment in the chat, which is a paraphrase of Batman. It's like, you either retire from broadcasting a hero or live long enough to become the next Grapes. Nice Batman callback. I like that. Finally, at least for me, I don't know if Jerk has something else from around the league, but if you did not pay attention to the last time the Islanders and the Flyers faced each other, you better pay attention this weekend, guys. Islanders defenseman Johnny Boychuk left the game with an apparent upper body injury at 5:41 of the third period after a huge hit from Jake Voracek, and he got a 5-minute interference penalty. And Boychuk going off the ice, being helped, by the way, helped off the ice, but pointing at Voracek the whole time saying, "I'm going to get you." The next time these teams face each other is 10 p.m. next weekend, March 23rd, or 10 a.m., excuse me, 10 a.m., March 23rd. Go set your DVRs now, kids. That should be a good one.
I do have one thing to add here. So Sasha Chmelevski, keep in mind, Sharks' sixth round draft pick. Yes, six, as in after five and before seven.
So where the Sharks get all their good players from.
Exactly. Today had a hat trick. I want to say, and Vince will help me out here, but didn't, I think it was his...
Didn't this kid just score like five goals in a game 2 weeks ago?
You are correct. This is his either his second or his third hat trick of the season. But the hat trick goal was his 100th career OHL goal, and he has now put up back to back 35 goal and 75 point seasons in the OHL. And what's interesting for me is when he did it last year, 76 points in 68 games. This year he's at 75 and he's only played 55 games, so he's got plenty of time to continue to tear that league apart. And like I said, sixth round pick.
And I think I can confidently say, for those of you asking who I was going to put on my stealth jersey, I think I might have just come up with a name.
I mean, if you're a cat, if you're re-signing Joe Pavelski and Erik Karlsson and Joe Thornton and everybody, you're gonna need sub 1 million guys to fill out your roster.
You know,
just saying.
Yeah, and because Chmelevski hasn't played in the NHL this year, his 3-year entry level deal will slide, which means it'll be kind of like a 4-year entry level deal.
Hey now. So finally, with this tweet of the week goes to, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Boston for tweeting out the phone number. a bunch of bozos.
I will say, I did call the number.
Oh,
and they hung up on me.
Did they not know? Did you not play the "Do you know who I am" card?
Did you not say I have an emergency?
Thing is, too, they didn't even ignore the call. They picked it up and then hung it up.
Lame. It makes you wonder how many times they're changing that. Okay. Anyway. Anything else from around the league? Anybody? I'm just throwing this out there. Any fun stories or anything cool that you heard from the NHL over this time, or anybody finally get like they've been mathematically eliminated from the postseason? So you're like, hey, cool.
The Arizona had Coyotes had pretty slick warm up sweaters a few days ago.
The Kachina, purple and teal.
The Kachina Diamondbacks.
Diamondback ones.
Oh, God damn, those are good looking.
Dripping with 90s nostalgia.
Where's my wallet?
Right? Dude. Well, and it's fun you mentioned that, because the last game for the Sharks, they had some interesting warm-ups where they, first time I've ever seen them use the SJ Screaming Shark logo as the crest. I thought it was cool. A lot of people kind of going, what the hell was with the design of the numbers? I think it was supposed to be splashing water at the lower half. What it kind of looked like. I don't know. But I've heard tale that there is going to be another warm-up jersey that the Sharks are going to be wearing that is going to have a very old-school feel to it. I think these might fetch some of the biggest money that warm-ups have ever gotten. Although I still want to, it's amazing that if you go to the auction, they have buy it now prices, and it's $1,500 for Goodrow, but it's like $3,000 for Kane, and the one that really got me, $5,000 for Erik Karlsson's warm-up jersey that he didn't even wear because he wasn't with the team. It's like, oh man, wow. Come on.
Okay, all right. All right.
I do have one more thing, and I know AJ, you will enjoy this. The Arizona Coyotes are in a playoff spot.
Hell to the yeah.
And they're only 1 point ahead of Minnesota, but they have a game in hand.
Oh man, does Arizona and Minnesota face each other by any chance in the final 10 or whatever they got left?
You know what? I don't know off the top of my head, but if you give me like 10 seconds to
click
that around.
But how fun would that be if San Jose was able to take over first and face Arizona in the first round? That would be so great. Go ahead.
All I'm saying, if first of all, they play Minnesota on March 31st. Now, depending on how Minnesota does, in the next 14 days, that game could seal their fate.
What time is that game played?
2 o'clock Pacific.
Oh, and then at 5 o'clock Pacific, Calgary and Sharks. Oh, that's going to be a bloody Sunday, bloody Sunday. That's glorious.
And also, to your point, AJ, if the Sharks do play Arizona in the first round, you will see my happy ass in Arizona. That's all I'm saying.
We're all just going to die. If it goes to side, we're just going to die of liver. We're going to have alcohol poisoning.
Oh, the desert dogs will be going.
Do you know we're going to die? Randy's going to kill us.
It's going to be so good.
Brody's going to get on that bandwagon and try and kill us too. He thinks it's funny.
Oh, man. All right, so coming up this week for the Sharks, we got the Vegas Golden Knights, currently 11 points back, although that might have changed. They are playing the Oilers, last I looked. I don't have a current score, but I know somebody who does.
5-3 with 6 minutes left in the third period.
Vegas is up.
Yep.
Okay, so then in about 10 minutes, Vegas will only be 9 points back. But when the Sharks face them, it will be the second night of back-to-backs for Vegas. So we'll see how that plays into it because, again, they're playing Edmonton right now. Come to the tank tomorrow. Then the Sharks head down to SoCal facing LA, the worst team in the West, and then the following night facing the second worst team in the West in Anaheim.
Be careful.
Yeah, don't get trapped. LA has won two of their last 10 games, I believe. I think they're 2-6-2.
Yikes.
yikes indeed. Anaheim, I believe, is 5-5 over their last 10. So, look, can we just beat Vegas, for Christ's sakes? Like, clinch the damn playoff position. Hopefully Kane is feeling better. Hopefully Joakim Ryan starts to get comfy. Who knows how that's going to work. Is Middleton back with the team yet or no?
The team being the Sharks?
Yeah, like did Middleton play today for
Barracuda?
Was he one of the 27 guys who scored today for the Barracuda?
He did play today. If I had to guess, he's probably already, called up, and then it'll be posted tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, so that's it for show 68. He hate me. Hashtag it. So final thoughts on where the people can find you, Hockey Jerk.
So final thoughts, as I alluded to earlier. So when you're like me and you accidentally buy more things than you need, you get to have a little bit of fun. So March the 9th against the St. Louis Blues, Teal Town USA Day at the Tank. I have one of the little dealy, what do you call these things? Practice warm-up pucks, the ones they use with the pictures of the teams on them. And evidently, I have two. I only need one because I'm one person, last I checked. So to be announced, there will be some kind of fun raffle game thing, and the winner will get one.
Who are the teams on this?
It's St. Louis. It's the Teal Town USA Day.
I'm quickly checking to make sure.
You have it.
Okay, I have it, so I'm good. All right, so yeah, Teal Town USA Day puck. I like it.
Other than that, like I said, Sharks kind of fell down a flight of stairs this week. Keyword, allegedly. But I still think they're going to bounce back. I mean, they've got Vegas, LA, and Anaheim. I would not be surprised to see them win all three of those games. And if you agree with me and you want to tell me how much you agree with me, you can follow me on Twitter and nowhere else, at @hockey_jerk. It's going to be fun. Apparently, there's a fire outside my house. Let me close my window really quick.
I was going to ask you if you had like a pack of coyotes roaming around.
This dude goes hardcore when he watches the Flames.
Yeah, the usual spot on Twitter, talking hockey, you know, doing all that fun stuff. And if you want to send me any recipes, conspiracy theories, trade proposals, anything like that, winning lotto numbers, you can email me hockeyjerk10@gmail.com.
We finally had production value. We finally had a sounder tonight. Rocket.
My final thoughts. All right, this team still remains dynamic and just frustrating, but hey, they're doing the best they can in the face of change and adversity and injury and life in general. They're going to keep on shorking, and I will be on that bandwagon, shorking right along with them. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can check me out on Twitter, complaining about the Sharks and praising them, among other things, talking about teal stuff and fun facts about living here in San Jose and not so fun stuff that happens in Nashville, like the rogue pack of ATV enthusiasts that keeps overtaking downtown Nashville every weekend. Has been going on for several years, and finally one of them clipped a police officer, like actually ran over one of the police officers this weekend. Yeah, so now all of a sudden they're gonna try to do something about it. Come on, you should have done this
years. Way to be proactive.
Yeah, you've had years, literally years, to solve this problem, and they're like, nah, they're all right, they ain't doing nothing, they're just holding up a couple of lights. Sorry, Bubba. Anyway, so so you can find me talking. That's the vibe you're gonna get from my Twitter when you buy in, and I suggest you buy in. It's a crazy ride. Capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76 on the Twitter machine. Or you can skip the chatter and just look at my photographs, man. Hang out with me on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word. What?
Oh, boy. Sleepy wondering in the chat if Arizona will break 5,000 in attendance if they make the playoffs.
Yes.
I will. I swear to God, I will buy 5,000 tickets.
I am AJ_Strong on all the social media. Final thoughts. Just come on, man. Do what you can and just win this division. Please. I'm just begging.
Win the game.
I just want to win this damn division. So with that, thanks very much for tuning in to episode 68. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or whatever podcast catcher you use. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, whichever side of, I think it's probably over here. Yes. Go there. Hit the subscribe button if you would, please. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TealTownUSA. And thanks for listening. We will see you next time for show number 69.
69, it's hilarious.
Nice.
Bye-bye, everybody.